as Paul emphasized repentance in the book of Acts, he emphasized repentance in the sense that the Gentiles and everyone else was to turn to God and get saved. Repentance earlier in the four Gospels is a change of mind with Israel, was to return to their covenant promises that God had made to them. Now, the next question is, did Paul, and his name was actually Saul, preach the kingdom gospel in his early ministry? Now, if you know the Acts 28 group, they believe that Paul preached the kingdom gospel. Now, again, this question here, it's similar to the last one, that some believe that in Paul's earlier years, and his name was actually Saul, some believe that Saul was actively preached the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews, just like the 12 apostles did, and that's what the Acts 28ers believe. But this assumption is made for several reasons. Let me give you guys the assumptions, several of the assumptions why the Acts 28ers believe this, if you have never heard them talk about it. The first one is this. It is because Paul's practice was immediately to go into the synagogues when entering a city. And if I'm not mistaken, I think KJV, he threw that up on the screen about Paul's manner. Every time Paul went somewhere, Paul always went into the Jewish synagogues. No, leave him there. Don't bounce him. We're not going to do that to him. That's what he wants. Leave him right there, but just leave a red dot on him, you know, until we get done. He needs to hear this probably more than most in the room, so leave him there. All right, now let's look at some of the assumptions as to why the Acts 28 group believe that Paul had participated in preaching the kingdom gospel along with the 12. Now, the first is that Saul's practice was to immediately go to the Jewish synagogues when he entered into a city. In fact, when Saul met the Lord on the road to Damascus and was instructed to meet Ananias, we read in Acts chapter 9, let me post the verse, we read there in Acts chapter 9, and the verse is verse number 20. What did Paul do? It says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God." Now, this practice continued much later when he was known as Paul, all right? And Paul continued to do that when he became Paul. Now, when they had passed, let's go to this verse. Let me go to Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollos, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So you can see Paul done that quite a bit. Now, another reason some believe that Paul preached the kingdom gospel is the fact that the Acts narratives say that he preached the kingdom of God on several occasions. Let me give you some of those verses. And in a minute, I'm going to show you how to deal with this right from the Word of God. Acts chapter 14, let's look at verse number 22. I'm setting the foundation for the lesson. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Again, in Acts chapter 19, and verse number 8, "And he went into the synagogues, and he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." Let's get another verse here. Acts chapter 20, and the verse is verse number 25. "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." One last verse here. Acts chapter 28, and verse number 31. "Preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, and no man forbidding him. See, another reason some believe, again, as I just showed you, why Paul preached the kingdom gospel is because of these verses. And finally, the final one of the final reasons that you'll find the Acts 28er trying to convince you of that is because Paul clearly demonstrated supernatural signs, which has been a part of the Jewish program. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, what does it say? It tells us that Jews require a sign. Okay, you see that. And he also practiced many Jewish rituals such as circumcision and you know, he circumcised Timothy, Paul baptized a few converts, and he even practiced in Jewish feast days, okay? And that's what leads the Acts 28ers to believe that Paul was preaching and teaching the kingdom gospel, or the same gospel that was being preached by the 12. What we're going to do here, we're going to consider these arguments one by one, okay? We're going to look at them one by one. The first one being, why did Saul and later Paul make it a practice of going to the synagogues? If I'm not mistaken, I think Josh did an excellent job of talking about this last Tuesday. Well, first of all, the answer is twofold. I'm going to give you that answer because they will always come up with this. First, you understand that Paul had a tremendous love for his countrymen, which never diminished to the very end. You find Paul there in the book of Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Let me read it to you. That's Romans chapter 9, verse 4. And this is the first reason why Paul, he just had a great heart for his countrymen, and Paul continued to go to them. And you're going to find in the Word of God that you have no verse to tell you that God told Paul to go to the Jew first. That is something that has been created by the Acts 28er group. Let's look at Romans chapter 9, and let's look at verses 1 through 4 to understand one of the reasons why Paul would want to go to the Jewish synagogue at any time he went to a place. Paul says in Romans 9, 1, I say the truth in Christ, and my conscience, I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a what? Great heaviness and a continued sorrow in my heart. Now this is almost at the end of the book of Acts. And this is how the Apostle Paul felt about his nation. Verse 3. He said, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He goes on to say in verse number 4. He says, who are Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and of the service of God and of the promises. You see that? So you can see first that Paul had a tremendous love for his countrymen, which never diminished to the very end. Again, he expressed his love there in Romans chapter 9 and 10. He says there again, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He says, who are Israelites? Brethren. That's who they are. Notice what he says, brethren. He says, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, is that they what? They might be saved. That's what he says in Romans chapter 10. Paul had a heavy heart for the nation of Israel. Again, look at this verse. And this is the first answer. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He had a heart desire for Israel to get saved. You see that? Now, the second answer is this. Paul, and this is an easy one, Paul was commissioned by the Lord to preach to the Israelites. Notice the commission that he gave. I don't know where, you know, I don't understand where they got that from. It's not that God told Paul to go to the Jews first. Paul was simply commissioned to go to them. Not the issue of going to them first. Here, let me give you the verse here. Let's get Acts. Acts chapter 9. And verse number 15. This is why Paul went to the Jews. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before who? The Gentiles and kings, and guess what? Who else? And the children of Israel. Again, and furthermore, Paul was not sent to the Israelites to offer them the kingdom, as the 12 apostles had been. Rather, he was sent to offer them salvation by grace if they would believe on Christ and to confirm God's judgment on their nation. That's why Paul, Acts 28ers, that's why Paul went to the Jews. That's why he went to the synagogue. He did not go to them to offer them the kingdom. He did not go to them to preach the same thing they had already rejected that was being preached to them by the Lord Jesus Christ in the four Gospels, that was being preached to them by the 12 apostles during the early part of the book of Acts. He was sent to them to preach unto them Christ, that they might too be saved by grace, not the kingdom gospel. See, three times in the book of Acts, Paul reminds Israel that he and God was turning to the Gentiles. Let's look at the three times he had already reminded them what God was doing. Here's the verse, Acts chapter 13, and the verse is verse number 46. Acts 13, 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. It was. But seeing you what? You put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Again, in Acts chapter 18, and the verse is verse number 6. And now they oppose themselves and blaspheme. He shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So as Paul went unto the Jews, he went unto them to offer them again that they might accept Christ and be saved by grace, because God was turning from them. Again, in Acts chapter 28, and the verse is verse number 28. Paul warns them three times. He says, Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. See, when Paul preached to the Jews, he affirmed that Jesus was indeed the Christ, but he never offered the kingdom if they would have believed or repented. You see, the Acts 28ers do not have a verse to first to prove that Paul ever offered the kingdom to the Jews if they had believed or repented. He was simply there preaching to them that Jesus was the Christ, and that God was going to delay or postpone his judgment, and he was there to offer them grace. How do you know that? Go back to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Alright, now, this leads us to the second argument. We all see the first argument, which is really not an argument. This is the second argument. This leads us to that second argument that Paul preached the kingdom at least during part of his ministry, which we will state in the form of a question. Okay, we're going to state this in the form of a question here. Some of them try to say, well, Paul, and even some grace believers, believe that Paul preached some of the kingdom in the first part of his ministry, and I don't believe he did, but I'm going to state it in the form of a question. This is the question. Why did Paul often speak of the kingdom of God? If he was not offering the kingdom to Israel, so why would Paul often speak of the kingdom of God if he was not offering the kingdom to Israel? Here go the answer. All right, now, the answer is quite simple. See, while the kingdom of God always referred to some aspect of God's rule in the universe, it does not always refer to the millennial reign of Christ. See, grace dispensationalists are perhaps, a bit oversensitive about, how we use the word kingdom. And this is a good reason for it. See, first, when the word kingdom is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it always refers to the coming reign of Christ upon planet Earth. And this is especially true of the expression, the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, that expression can only be found in the book of Matthew's. Again, this phrase is best defined in the so-called Lord's Prayer, with the words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, on earth as in heaven." Now, because of this, we tend not to use the word kingdom when referring to God's program of grace today. And you know that. Most of us grace believers, we do not like to refer to that word kingdom when we talk about God's grace program today. A second reason that grace believers tend to be a bit sensitive about the word kingdom is because the word is properly used amongst Christians. You know, you have people talking about, you know, "Let us all work together for the kingdom, brother." And you guys have heard that. You have some groups talking about bringing in the kingdom. You have other groups trying to make the millennial kingdom that we're in it now. So I can understand why we're kind of, you know, sensitive about that. All right, now, let's look at this thing. What is Paul referring to when he speaks of the kingdom of God? What is he referring to? It is true that Paul occasionally refers to the millennial reign of Christ. That's true. And we got an example of it that Paul did at times refer to the millennial kingdom of God. Let me give you a verse where he referred to it. That's going to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24. And Christ here in this verse is referring none other to the millennial kingdom. Let me get the verse on the screen that you might see. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." You see that. However, though, when Paul refers to the kingdom of God, he is usually referring to the spiritual realm of faith in the life of a believer. Alright? In that verse, Paul is referring to the millennial kingdom. If you get the context there, Paul is only teaching about the millennial kingdom in the reference to a general resurrection, and you need to go back and look at the context. But when Paul does refer to the kingdom of God, he is usually referring to the kingdom of God or referring to the spiritual realm of faith in the life of a believer. Let me give you guys an example of that. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." See, sometimes Paul uses the expression to refer to our future life in heaven. All right, let's look at that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corruption inherit incorruption. Now, how does one tell, which kingdom the Apostle Paul is talking about? You know, how does one tell that? And that's the key. How does one tell which kingdom that the Apostle Paul talking about in the context? 1 second, someone's PMing me. Let me put that down there. All right, there we go. All right, now let's go on and finish this. How does one, as I said before, how does one tell which kingdom Paul or even the other Bible writers is referring to? And just remember these three things, Rome. Just remember these three things. Context, context, context. It is the context. Now the third argument for Paul's preaching a kingdom gospel is the use of many miracles and even religious rituals, which was a part of the kingdom program. Now, you've heard the Acts 28ers to do that. Well, why was Paul using signs and wonders and all that other stuff, right? Okay? Well, here go your answer. With regards to miracle, Paul's God-given powers was not a sign of the kingdom, but rather, they were a sign of his apostleship. You see that? Easy answer, isn't it? Let's go and look at the Bible. That's why Paul, another reason Paul was working signs and wonders. Not that he was preaching or offering the kingdom to the nation of Israel, but that it was a sign of his apostleship. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and the verse is number 12, if you want to understand that. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, in wonders, and mighty deeds. You guys see that? You see how Paul makes it clear in 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And while those signs were certainly confirmed to the Jews that Paul was truly sent from God, they were actually given to him more for the benefit of the Gentiles, by the way. And how do you know that? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 15. And let's look at verses 18-19. Romans chapter 15, verses 18 and verse 19. For I would not dare to speak of any of these things which Christ had not wrought by me to make the what? The Gentiles obedient by word and deed. And verse number 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about unto Lycaonium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And that might be a new twist for some of us grace believers to also understand that one of the true meanings of why Paul worked miracles, wonders, and signs, it was truly for the Gentiles. You see that verse there, Romans 15, 18? For I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. So we can clearly see from the Word of God why Paul worked signs and wonders, because they were his sign of his apostleship. They were not the signs that he was preaching a kingdom gospel as the Acts 28ers would lead you to believe. Now, as far as Paul's participating in some of the Jewish kingdom practices of baptism, participating in feast days, those things were done during the transition from the kingdom to grace, while God was progressively revealing the nature of this present age to Paul. And I will discuss that. I'll discuss that at a later time when I will talk about the transition period. And so there you have it. It is not difficult to deal with these particular verses. You just got to sit back and read and pay no attention to these guys that are trying to twist God's word, to take certain things that Paul was doing and try and reinterpret those things to try to preach that Paul was preaching the kingdom gospel. I will say again in closing, Paul never preached or offered the kingdom gospel to Israel to receive it. Paul went to the nation of Israel. He went to the synagogues as his custom was or his manner was, not because he was sent there first to preach the kingdom gospel, but he went there because he was sent to them also to preach unto them that Jesus was the Christ and to offer them grace, to offer them the grace of God. He did not go there to offer them any kingdom. So therefore, you can see here from these two lessons tonight, the erroneous errors of the Acts 28ers. Be very careful when they go in Paul's writings and they try to isolate things, what they're trying to do. They're trying to mislead you, and the next thing they end up telling you that the book of Acts is not a transitional book. The Acts 28 group kind of put me in mind of Satan in the garden as he dealt with Eve. As he did five things, Satan watered down the Word of God. He finally got Eve to change a few words in God's Word. And then finally, he flat out just got Eve to deny the Word of God. And that's as exactly what would happen when you mess around with these erroneous doctrines, when people come to the book of Acts and try to build doctrine on a transitional book. Remember, the book of Acts is transitioning from the gospel of the kingdom over to the gospel of the grace of God, and for some time over at least a 20-year period, they overlap one another as the kingdom gospel that was being preached by Peter them and carried on with the little flock began to decrease as God diminished Israel away. Paul is out there preaching the dispensation of the grace of God. It's not until the end of the book of Acts when Paul is in prison that at that point he fully wrote down in those later epistles everything, a clear understanding of everything that was taking place from the time that he was saved in Acts chapter 9 until the end of Acts chapter 28. And when God finally diminished Israel away, the only thing you had left there was the dispensation of the grace of God. There's one verse in Acts 28 I need to deal with. And I want the room to think about this one. Why in the world would Paul make the statement that the care of all the churches had fallen up on the Apostle Paul? Where, now, the question you need to ask a Acts 28er, were those kingdom churches? They most certainly not. Those churches were none, they were under none other thing than the dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul's message was simply that we are to repent and turn to God and having faith in the cross work of His Son, Jesus Christ. God bless.